Brachos Daf Nun Dalet. The Mishnah starts off. If you see a place where a miracle was performed for Bnei Yisrael, you say Baruch Shah Sanisim LaAvosenu B'Hamakom Hazeh. If you see a place where Avodah Zarah was uprooted, you say Baruch Shah Kar Akum Meretzenu. If you see Zikin, which will be defined in the Gemara, an earthquake, thunder, lightning, or winds, you say Baruch Shah Kochu Gvoraso Malei Olam. If you see mountains, hills, seas, rivers, or deserts, you say Baruch Hoseh Bereishis. Yehuda says also on the Yam HaGadol, which will be defined which ocean the Yam HaGadol is, you say Baruch Shah says Yam HaGadol, but this is only when you see it at intervals, not if you see it like every day. On rain and good news, you say Baruch Tov HaMeitiv. On bad news, you say Baruch Dayan HaMes. If you bought a new house or a clothes, you say Shachianu, Shachianu V'Kimanu V'Yanu L'Azman HaZeh. You would say a Baruch Dayan HaMes on bad things, even though they can be good, and you would say a Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv on good things, even though they can be bad. If you're davening for something that's already in the past, it's already happened, that's a tefillah shav. Like if you hear screaming in the city, somebody cry out, and you say, Hashem, please let that not be someone from my family, someone that I care and love about, that would be someone that I care about and love, that would be a tefillah shav because it's already been determined. Similarly, if your wife is pregnant and you start davening to Hashem, you say, Hashem, I hope there's a boy, I hope there's a girl, that's tefillah shav. If you enter into a dangerous city, you say two brachos, one when you enter and one when you leave. Ben Azai says you say four brachos, two when you enter, two when you leave. You thank Hashem for protection in the past, and you ask Him for protection in the future. You have to bless Hashem on the bad, just like you have to bless Hashem on the good. How do we know this? Because the pasuk says, "V'cholav avecha." This teaches with both of your yetzers, your yetzer hara and your yetzer tov, you have to use to serve Hashem. "V'chol nafshecha," even if Hashem takes your life away. "V'chol modecha," with all your money. And here's where we prove that you have to bless Hashem on the good, just like on the bad, just like the good, because the pasuk says, we can also translate and explain b'chol mo'odecha as with whatever measure Hashem meets out to you. You can't behave lightheadedly by the base of Mikdash. You can't enter Harabayas, which is where the base of Mikdash was, with your staff in your hand, your shoes on your feet, your money belt on you, and your dust on your feet. You can't use it as a shortcut. And kal v'chomer, all the more so you can't spit there. They would used to conclude the brachos in the Beis HaMikdash. They would say Ad HaOlam, until the world. However, the Tzadukim, the Sadducees, when they corrupted the Beis HaMikdash and Judaism, they only believed in Olam Hazeh, only this world, not Olam Haba. So they instituted to say Min HaOlam V'Ad HaOlam, from this world until the next world, because any Tzaduki wouldn't say that because they didn't believe in that, and that was an easy way to tell who was a Tzaduki and who was not. They also instituted that you would greet your friend with the name of Hashem. Why? Because Boaz would greet his workers, he would say Hashem Imachem, and they would answer him back, Yivarech Hashem. And we know that there's a pasuk that says you should follow your elders, so we should follow what Boaz did. Rav Nosson says that sometimes to fulfill Hashem's will, at times we have to do things that appear to go against his law. Just like, you know, greeting someone with the name of Hashem would appear to go against his law, but really that fits in within his will. The Gemara says, how do we know that you say a bracha on a place where you saw a miracle happen? Rav Yochanan answers, because Yisro said a bracha on Bnei Yisrael when he came and he saw them. And we say this: you only make a bracha on a public nes, not on a private nes. However, we know that Rava told a guy who was miraculously saved by a lion to say a bracha at the place where he was saved by the lion. And Marbarei of Ina was given a well in the desert to save him from his thirst, and he was saved from a wild camel when he was in the market. A wild camel saw him, and a wall just miraculously fell on him. So whenever he was by the desert or in the market, he would say a bracha on both, meaning when he was in the desert, he would bless Hashem for the well and the camel, and when he was at the market, he would bless Hashem for the camel and the well. So we'd always make brachos on these nisim. So how does that make sense? Because we said you only make a bracha on a public nes. So he answered that a nes that was done for the public, a miracle for the public, everyone has to say a bracha. However, when it was just a miracle for him, only he has to say a bracha. So as that says, if you see where the Red Sea or the Jordan was split, the Nachale Arnon, the stones of Elgavish, the stone that Og wanted to throw on Bnei Yisrael, the stone that Moshe sat on during the war against Amalek, the remains of Lot's wife, the wall of Jericho that was swallowed up, that fell, then you should praise and thank Hashem for these miracles. So obviously we know what the splitting of the seas are. The first splitting was with Moshe and Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim, Egypt. And the second one was with Yoshua and Bnei Yisrael when they went into Eretz Yisrael. However, what is this Nachal Arnon, Nachale Arnon, the canyons of Arnon? So we tell a story with these two guys, Es Vahav, those are their names. And they were two people at Tzaras, so they were outside, they were ahead of the camp because people with Tzaras can't be part of the camp, people with leprosy. So they were ahead of the camp. Now, the Amorites, saw Bnei Yisrael traveling through the desert, like, oh, great, we're going to go intercept them at the canyons of Arnon. We're going to go hide. We're going to make caves in these canyons. And what are we going to do? When they come in, we're going to ambush them and we're going to kill them all. However, they didn't realize that the Aron Kodesh, was passing ahead of Bnei Yisrael, and it was leveling all the ground in front of them, so they wouldn't have to walk up mountains and hills. It would just all be flat. So once the Aron got close to these canyons, it just pushed the two canyons together, killing all of the Amori who were there to kill Bnei Yisrael. And Esrahav, being ahead of the camp, saw this, and they saw all their blood flowing down, and they went in and informed Bnei Yisrael, who then sang praise to Hashem. So what are the stones of El Gavish? These are the stones that remained in the air for one ish, one man. This man was Moshe, because the hail ceased in midair for Moshe when it was coming down to Mitzrayim. Moshe said, let it stop. It stopped. And the stones, and the other ones are the stones that fell for another ish, meaning these ones fell versus the other ones that were suspended in the air. These ones that fell for an ish were the hail that fell on Yoshua's enemies. So what's the stone that Og wanted to throw on Bnei Yisrael? What's that story? So basically, Og was like, oh, I know Bnei Yisrael, is their camp is 3 parsos wide, which is a 3 by 3 parsos, which is a measurement. So he went and picked up a mountain that was that same, had those same dimensions. He's like, I'm going to drop this 3 by 3 parsos mountain on top of Bnei Yisrael. So what he do? He picked it up. He lifted it over his head, going to go drop it on Bnei Yisrael. But Hashem made a miracle where ants chewed through the middle of the mountain, and then the mountain fell down on his head. And he's like, all right, fine, I guess I have this mountain on my head. I'm going to just pick it up and take it off of me. But then Hashem made another miracle where his teeth stretched out, and they kind of, I guess, buried themselves in the mountain, and he could not take off the mountain from his head. And what's the reference for this? So it says, Shnei Rishayim Shivarta. The pasuk says, the teeth of the Rishayim you broke. And Rishayim says, no, read it as Sharvavta. You extended. You extended the teeth of the Rishayim. So Moshe was 10 amos tall. And then he took an axe that was 10 amos long. And he jumped up 10 amos, so 30 amos in total. And he was able to strike at Og's heel, thus killing Og. So we bring the source for the rock that Moshe sat on during Amalek, Lot's wife who was turned into salt, and the walls of Jericho. Fine, but we ask Lot's wife, that's not a good thing. Why are we praising Hashem for that? That's, you know, it's a bad thing that she was turned into this pillar of salt. So we answer, no, on that you would say Baruch Diana Emes, which is the bracha on, you know, bad occurrences. However, the Bryce itself says we praise Hashem for these things. So we answered that you say Baruch Diana Emes for Lot's wife. And for Lot, we would say Baruch Zocher Tzadikim, who remembers the Tzadikim. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even when Hashem is angry, he still remembers the Tzadikim. Meaning, even when Hashem was destroying Sodom, really upset at Sodom, he still remembered Avram and thus saved Lot on his behalf. So we said that in the Braisa, that the wall of Yericho was swallowed. But what does that mean? The pasuk says it fell over. So we answered that the width and the height, I mean, it was just as wide as it was tall, were exactly the same. So if it fell over, that wouldn't have been noticeable because the width and the height were the same thing, so it wouldn't have done anything. So the only way was for the ground to open up and swallow up the wall. But the pasuk just says fell because that's the regular way of saying it. If Yehuda says the name of Rav, there are 4 types of people that have to give thanks to Hashem. Someone who traveled on sea, someone that traveled through the desert and the wilderness, someone that was sick and got better, and someone who was released from jail. And we bring Pesukim to prove all of these. If Yehuda says, what's the bracha? It's Baruch Gomel Chasadim Tovim. Abai says you need to do it. You need to say it with a minion. Marzitra says two of them have to be Talmidei Chachamim, because the pasuk says, B'moshav Zekenim Yahalu. You should praise Hashem in the session of elders. Vashi says, so all of them should be Talmidei Chachamim. But we answer, no, the first part of the pasuk of B'moshav Zekenim Yahalu is Bekal Am, in an assembly of the nation. It doesn't say in an assembly of Zekenim. So rather, you need an assembly of regular people and 2 Zekenim, right? Talmidei Chachamim. So we said, why don't we require 10 people total, and then 10 regular people, and then 2 Talmidei Chachamim. That would make sense. Shouldn't we require that? Because Bekal Am makes it sound like we need 10, and Zekenim makes it sound like we need 2. So that's what we should need. So we answered, yeah, that's a kasha. We don't know. That's a good proof. There's a good disproof. Yehuda was sick, and then he got better, so the Rabbanon all went and visited him, and they said a bracha on him, on his recovery, and they thanked Hashem for him. And Yehuda says, oh, wow, that's great. Now I'm not obligated to thank Hashem because you guys said it for me. But Abaye says you need to have a minion there. You need 10 people. No, so there were 10 Rabbanim there who said it. But he didn't actually give the things himself. Rabbi Yehuda didn't say anything. Everyone else did it for him. Right, so how do we understand that? Rather, it's because he said Amen. And since he said Amen, that was as if he said it himself. Rabbi Yehuda says that three people that need protection, a sick person, a bride, and a groom. A braisa changes it around a little bit. It says a sick person, a woman who gave birth, and a bride and a groom. And some say mourners, and some say talmidei chachamim at night. These people need extra protection. Shkayach.